Welcome to the broadcast. We're glad you tuned in today, and I hope this broadcast will be a blessing to you. I want to share with you this morning some information I received by email, or an email I received this past week from someone that had been listening to the broadcast. And I do encourage you to email us at our email address. We'll be giving you the website at the end of the program. But this gentleman wrote an email and said that he'd been listening to the broadcast and said he had enjoyed it and that it was not exactly what he was used to hearing. And the one thing that he had found interesting was that we talk about dividing the Bible. He said, I've never heard before of people dividing the Bible. And he said, but I promise I will continue to listen, and I'm enjoying the broadcast. And it was encouraging to get an email, and I always like to hear from people, whether it's positive or negative, because we know people are listening to the broadcast. And I hope that if you have questions or comments that you will email us or write us a letter or even give us a telephone call. And all of that information, how you can do that, will be given to you as we end the broadcast. But today I want to explain to you on the radio and those here in the auditorium that there is a reason that we divide the Bible, as the writer said. What we call it is rightly dividing the word of truth. And a very short answer as to why we do this is that the Bible simply tells us to. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now it's important that we realize and understand that Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. In your Bible is what's called the New Testament. You have the books laid out, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and those books deal primarily with the nation Israel, the first coming of Christ, and the promise of the kingdom. Then you have a book that is somewhat transitional, that is the book of Acts. And in the first part of Acts, the 12 are carrying out the commission that was given to them by the Lord Jesus Christ, up until Acts chapter 9, and that's when we find the salvation of the Apostle Paul. The next 13 books in your Bible are the books of Romans through Philemon. I personally believe that those are the books that the Apostle, I know that those are the books the Apostle Paul wrote. Some people debate about the book of Hebrews, but Hebrews through Revelation primarily deal with the nation Israel. So in your Bible, you have 13 books that are written by the Apostle Paul. And Paul said very emphatically that he is our apostle. He is the apostle to the Gentiles. He said in Romans chapter 15 that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made unto the fathers. So Paul is our apostle. He was the apostle that was given the dispensation of the grace of God, Ephesians 3, verse 1 and 2. So I want us to look today at the Scriptures and see why it's important that we divide the Bible and that we rightly divide the Word of Truth, as Paul says. The first thing I want you to notice, and probably the most important, is that what we find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as far as the gospel is concerned, is different from the gospel that Paul preached. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as the 12, are preaching what is called the gospel of the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 4, in verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. So Jesus Christ himself was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That is simply the truth that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what the nation Israel had been looking forward to for years and years, was the coming of a king. If you'll go to your Bible and read Luke chapter 1 sometime, you'll read the prophecy there being fulfilled of the coming of Jesus Christ as the king of the nation Israel. In Matthew chapter 9, in verse 35, the Bible says there, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. In Matthew chapter 10, in verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Notice now, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Listen, it is apparently clear when you read the books and simply believe what the words say on the page that Jesus Christ and the 12 were preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And yet, when the Apostle Paul is saved, Paul says that he was given the dispensation of the grace of God. And in Acts chapter 20, Paul gives us a picture of what that ministry was. In Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul says in verse... Well, let's look in verse 24. Acts 20, 24. He says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." In other places, Paul calls it the gospel of Christ. He says in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul identifies the gospel that he preached. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 1, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That's the gospel that Paul preached back in Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, the Apostle Paul tells us more about that gospel and the truth that he preached. And he uses two words that are very important in consideration of rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul, over and over again in his epistles, makes reference to "but now." That is in contrast to times past and that which is to come. Time is always divided into three segments: time past, now, and that which is to come. Paul said in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, "Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." You see, the issue today is not keeping the law. The issue is not simply believing that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. The issue is not believing that Jesus Christ even hung on a cross and died. He died for your sins. You can believe all the historical facts about Jesus Christ. You can believe that Jesus Christ was a great man and that He was the Son of God and He died on a cross and was buried and rose again the third day. But the historical facts will never save you. What will save you is your faith, your trust, and your belief in Him as the one who died for your sins. He shed His blood at Calvary. You're being redeemed by His blood. And when you trust in Him, you have salvation. Now, that's why it's important to rightly divide the word of truth. You will not find Romans 3 truth in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You'll find the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of Christ, and the information about how people are saved today in this current dispensation in Paul's epistles. And listen, there may be some of you listening to this broadcast right now, and you joined the church years ago, or you asked Christ to come into your heart. You walked the aisle and you got baptized, but you may be a person that never trusted in what Jesus Christ did when He died on that cross. And that's why it's important you understand that the gospel for us today is found in Romans through Philemon. It's the gospel that Paul preached, and Paul said the gospel he preached, he did not receive from man, he received by revelation of Jesus Christ. So we preach a different gospel from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John than we do in Paul's epistles in Romans through Philemon. Not only that, we see a different commission. You know, most of the church today is operating under what they call the Great Commission. And the commission of Matthew chapter 28 was indeed a great commission. The problem is it was not the commission that God gave to you and I today. In Matthew chapter 28, as Jesus Christ is sending forth the 12, or the 11 at this time, in Matthew 28, the Bible says in verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now, you know, I have heard people over the years, and I understand that you can make an application of these verses to us today. But you know what? The majority of people that say they are keeping the Great Commission do not do so. Do you know in Matthew chapter 23, in verse 1, Jesus, in speaking to the disciples, told them, in Matthew 23, 1, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not." In other words, Jesus Christ said to those disciples, when the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat and teach you the law, then you ought to observe it. And when he spoke the words of Matthew 28, he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Well, people today that believe in salvation by grace are not teaching people to keep the law, and so they're not really following the commission. Not only that, another thing we see about this commission is that Paul, our apostle, was not operating under this. How do I know that? Well, because the commission was, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father." Now, anybody that believes the Bible means what it says would have to acknowledge that part of the commission is water baptism. It was not something that was optional. It was something that was absolutely required in this commission. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father." Now, I realize that most of religion today teaches that and does that. But that is not the commission that Paul was operating under. How do I know that? Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, Paul said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize." Now I ask you, could the 11 have ever made that statement according to what Christ told them in Matthew 28? Obviously no. He told them specifically that you are to go baptizing, and Paul said, "Christ sent me not to baptize." Therefore, things that are different are never the same. Paul could not be operating under the commission of Matthew 28 because Christ sent him not to baptize. So the commission is different. Now listen, we have a great commission. The commission to the 12 was to go into all the world, preach the gospel. What was that gospel? Matthew 24, Jesus Christ said, "The gospel of the kingdom," Matthew 24, 14, "the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come." That's exactly the gospel that they were preaching. In Luke 24, he said that repentance and remission of sins would be preached in his name. And so the commission was to go into all the world, preach that gospel of the kingdom. The idea was that the nation of Israel would hear and repent and be saved, and the world would be saved through the nation of Israel. But that's not what happened. The nation of Israel, parts of them received the truth, believed, as in Acts 2:38, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins." And so The 12 are doing exactly what Christ told them to do as far as their commission. But when we get over to the Apostle Paul, he said, "Christ sent me not to baptize." Now, we have a commission. Look in, if you have your Bible there, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul tells us what our commission is. And these words are very important. You see, the gospel of the kingdom, what many times people fail to understand is that that gospel was the good news of Christ coming, but the good news of Christ coming also included the fact that there was going to be wrath that was going to come. How do we know that? Well, before I read there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let me read a verse to you from Matthew chapter 3, because this is very important in relation to the commissions. You see, when John came forth preaching in Matthew 3, John the Baptist, The Bible says he came forth preaching and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." But then later on, down in verse 7 of Matthew 3, he said, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" You see, the Old Testament laid out perfectly in prophecy that there was going to be a time of tribulation upon the earth that was going to have to take place before Christ would establish his kingdom. So part of the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom was this 70th week of Daniel, what's called the day of Jacob's trouble or the tribulation period. So the even though it was good news that the Christ has come, Jesus Christ the Messiah, there was also a message there that wrath was going to fall, as John pointed out in Matthew chapter 3. That's why when you read in Acts chapter 2, Peter said, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." And he goes on to lay out there the things that were going to be happening in the last days. Now, why is that significant? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when Paul is talking about the salvation of Gentiles, he's talking about the salvation of people like you and me. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ," notice now, "and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." That is not the ministry of preaching, repent and be baptized. That is not the ministry of teaching people to keep the law. That is not the ministry of teaching people to turn over a new leaf or to become better, or to join the church, or to walk the aisle and be baptized. That is not the ministry. The ministry of reconciliation, he outlines what it is in verse 19. When he says, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation." You see, God Almighty revealed to the Apostle Paul that he had died for his sins, and even though Paul deserved wrath, God withheld his wrath and gave to the Apostle Paul what is called the dispensation of the grace of God. And so today the good news is that God is not angry. God is not holding your sin against you. Paul said, "To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself." Listen, folks, you hear people all the time. I remember back when Katrina hit and other disasters have hit this country. You hear people talk about God is exercising His wrath. No, God is not exercising His wrath. Those things happen because we live in a sin-cursed world and on a sin-cursed earth. God today is withholding His wrath and He is dispensing His grace. And He is gracious in allowing people to be saved today by simply believing that He died for their sins and was buried and rose again the third day and trusting in what He did at Calvary. Now Paul says, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and committed unto us the word of reconciliation." I can remember well when I first came to understand these truths. I had been religious, I had been in church, I had even been preaching for several years before I really understood that Christ died for my sins and I trusted in Him. And I can tell you the greatest blessing in the world of salvation was knowing and understanding that all my sins were forgiven. There is nothing greater in the world today to know than your sins are forgiven. Colossians 2:13, Paul said, "He hath forgiven us all trespasses." What does that have to do with our ministry? Our ministry is to convey that truth. Our ministry is to tell other people. You see, he says in verse 20 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." In other words, that which Christ did 2,000 years ago and revealed to the Apostle Paul, and Paul wrote it down, we receive our instructions from the Apostle Paul, Romans through Philemon, so that we can go out and in Christ's absence be His presence upon the earth as His ambassadors. And as His ambassadors, we're not to preach what we want to preach or what we hold to as traditions and so forth. We're to preach what He said to preach. Well, what is that? Verse 21. For he hath made him, that is Christ, to be sin for us. Who knew no sin? Jesus Christ was the only person to ever live upon this earth without sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That is a wonderful, wonderful message. A glorious, wonderful truth. To know that Jesus Christ, when he hung on that cross, God made him to be sin for us. He took upon himself the sin of the world. And in exchange for that, he gave us his righteousness. That we might be made righteous. And listen, you're not made righteous today by joining the church. You're not going to be made righteous by religion. You're going to be made righteous when you accept as a free gift all that God did for you through His Son on Calvary's cross. And you trust in that and that alone for your salvation. That's why it's important to divide the Bible. That's why we rightly divide the Word of Truth. Because it shows us the gospel that was preached in the day of Jesus Christ. The gospel that was preached by Israel, the 12. And the gospel that was preached by our apostle, the Apostle Paul. And after we're saved, you know, the Bible says it's God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And after we're saved, we need to know what to preach. You see, back there in Matthew chapter 10, when Jesus Christ sent forth the 12, he said, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Not only do we need to know what to preach, but who to go to. Today, all men are forgiven from all sin, whereby they could not be forgiven under the law of Moses, by faith in Jesus Christ. So today, we go and we preach the gospel, the message of reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation. But you know, there's one other reason we need to divide the Bible, and we'll spend the last few minutes today on that. Not only do we divide the Bible so that we know exactly what gospel to preach and know what our ministry is, but in the practices of doctrine on a day-to-day basis, it's important that we understand the part of the Bible that is doctrine for us. Now, all the Bible is equally inspired. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All the Bible is written for us to read and to learn and to understand. But all the Bible is not instructions for us. Most of you would acknowledge, obviously, that the Old Testament is doctrine that is not for you. I mean, most people don't observe the dietary laws back there, the laws about what you could wear and not wear. And I mean, you could go on and on about the differences there. But you get over to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and there are also some differences. I just want to share one with you today as we close, because I find that this one is one that many times people just simply overlook or ignore. In Jesus Christ's teaching in Matthew chapter 6, in verse 25, he said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Did you understand? You understand that that's exactly the carrying out of that verse is exactly what's going on in Acts chapter 2. In verse 45, the Bible says they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And when you get over to Acts chapter 4, verse 34, the Bible says, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Now, think about that in relation to you today. The apostle Paul, in 2 Thessalonians, our apostle, the apostle to the Gentiles, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, remember, Jesus Christ said, take no thought for your life, what you're going to put on. In other words, there was no need for them to hold jobs. They sold what they had. They laid at the apostles' feet. Why? Because they expected the Lord to return very soon. But when Paul received the revelation of the mystery and began to preach Jesus Christ according to that revelation, we find some drastically different instructions in relation to how we live on a daily basis. One of those is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Verse 6, he says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us." Now notice, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." As a matter of fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, Paul said that if any man provides not for his own, he is worse than an infidel. You see, it's important that we rightly divide the word of truth. It's important that we divide the Bible, as the gentleman who sent the email said. And I appreciate him doing that. And I hope that as you study your Bible, you will study it with the understanding of rightly dividing the word of truth. Because really, folks, that's the only way that it makes sense. When you go over there to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you try to claim all the promises made to Israel, all the promises that Christ made to the disciples, you know what that leads to? That leads to discouragement, because those promises were not made to you. You want to know the promises made to you? You can find them in Romans through Philemon. You can find them in Paul's writings, who is our apostle. And I hope as you study your Bible, number one, that you'll understand that Paul preached a different gospel. And that gospel is that Christ died for your sins. And if you've never, and was buried and raised again the third, and if you've never trusted Him, I hope that you'll trust Him and be saved. And then you'll understand what your commission is. It's the ministry of reconciliation, proclaiming to people not God's wrath, but God's love, mercy, and grace. And that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing our trespasses. And then lastly, I hope as you study your Bible, you'll come to understand that the doctrine for you today, in this age in which we're living, is in Romans through Philemon. And God will tell you all you need to know about how to live in those books. It is important that we rightly divide the word of truth. And my prayer is that you'll do that. If you have any questions or comments, that you'd write to us, call us, email us. Because the only goal we have in having this radio broadcast on the air is to instruct you in studying your Bible, so that you might understand the Word of God, and it might be a blessing to you, that you might know you're saved, know what your commission is, and know the doctrine that's yours during this present age. If you do that, and you understand the Word of God, it'll be the greatest blessing that you've ever experienced.